Is green light on? There we go. Our Old Covenant reading will be from Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. And I'll be reading verses 22 to 25. So as you're able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Proverbs 23, beginning verse 22. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth, do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. Our new covenant reading is from Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We'll read the first three verses. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. All flesh is like the grass, and all man's glory is like the flower. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God abides forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, these last passages that we have been looking at are really contrary to almost everything our culture is teaching us right now. You look back from Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Our culture is completely at war with that entire idea. The husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is also the head of the church. Culture is completely at war with that idea too. And now we come down to children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Our culture is just as much at war with that idea as with the others. Parents are supposed to affirm what their children want, even if that child wants to be a different gender. They're supposed to affirm that. Not only are they supposed to affirm their children, they're supposed to affirm their children's feelings. That's exactly the opposite of what the Scriptures teach, which is children, they need to obey their parents in the Lord. That's God's order. And our entire culture is at war with this whole idea. But we believe the Word of God. The Word of God is superior to all the foolish ideas that are wandering around in this current culture. And so we're going to look at this passage, and we're going to learn about children, a little bit about the nature of children, the role of parents, and why the way God has ordered things is so much better than the way this world is doing things. First of all, I want to say that God has given you children, parents. If you have children, they are the gift of God. Psalm 127:3 says, "Behold, children are a heritage or a gift from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." Children are the blessing of God, they're the gift of God, and we need to praise Him for them. Children, you are a blessing to us all. Children also have always been a part of God's covenant people. Since the time of Abraham, children have been included among God's people. When God speaks to Abraham in Genesis 17:7, He says, "I will establish my covenant between me and you, Abraham, and your descendants after you in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you." So children have always been a part of God's people, and they've been included. They haven't been excluded. They haven't been held at hand's length or distance. Jesus said, bring them to me. Let those little children come to me. So they're part of God's people and always have been. And in this passage, we see that in the new covenant, nothing has changed. Children are still a part of God's people. They're still included among the church. And here he's even speaking to Gentile children. He's not just speaking to Jewish children who are a part of God's people. He's writing to Ephesians at a Gentile church, and he's particularly singling children out and giving them a particular command. And then even more amazing, he's taking the fifth commandment, which was given to Israel, and it had a promise attached to it. And that promise was about the land of Canaan. And he takes that promise about the land and he applies it to Gentile children and says, honor your father and mother that it may go well with you and you may live long on the earth. The commandment applies to the children of believers, even Gentile children of believers. They're included too. And so that's good for you, because most of you children are probably Gentile children. But you're part of the church because your parents are believers. So even the children of Gentile believers are included now among God's people. So children, by virtue of your covenant baptism and your parents being believers, you are members of the body of Christ. You're members of the church, the covenant people of God. And through the in that relationship, you have certain responsibility. God has responsibilities for you, and he also has a great promise for you. So if I can get your attention, children, this is going to have a lot to do with you. It'll have to do with your parents a good bit too. But this sermon is on a passage where the Apostle Paul wrote a letter and he said, children, look at that. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So this is for you, children. And I want to talk about what it means to obey. You probably have a little bit of an idea if your parents have been doing anything right. You have an idea that they want you to obey. And when they ask you to obey, they're doing what is right, and they're helping you to do what is right. So children, obey your parents in the Lord. What's that phrase mean, in the Lord? In the Lord means that you obey them for the sake of the Lord. You obey them because he's the authority standing behind them. When you hear something come from your parents' mouth, a command come from your parents' mouth, you need to see behind them, and standing behind them and supporting them with all his authority is God Almighty. They spoke, they asked you to do something, God just asked you to do something. And you need to think of it in that way. God is telling you to do something through your parents, and you need to obey them in the Lord. This in the Lord is also a limiting factor. They can only tell you to do things that are in the Lord, things that are consistent with his word. Now, this will probably never happen. But if your parents ever tell you to disobey God, you must obey God rather than your parents. For example, if your mom comes down one morning and says, our neighbor has a beautiful diamond necklace, I'd like you to sneak into her house and get it and bring it back to me. Probably not likely, right? We hope. That would be theft. And you say, no, mom, can't do that. Thou shalt not steal. Remember that commandment? It's the one alongside the fifth commandment. Obey, honor your mother and father. So that's very unlikely that something like that would happen. Now, it does happen in the world. I'm not saying that people don't use children for crimes. They do. But it's unlikely that you'll ever have to say no to your parents because they've asked you to do something that God forbids. But it's a limiting factor, you to obey your parents in the Lord. Why? For this is right. It's just right. God has declared to all the earth that it is right for children to obey their parents in the Lord. It is the right thing to do. Don't ever have a doubt about that. He says it's right. So when your parents command you, you're supposed to obey. and you do it because it's right and because the authority of Almighty God stands behind them. And just as much as your mom is speaking to you, hear the voice of God speaking to you when she says, "Can you go clean your room?" You say, "Yes, ma'am. I would delight to do so. I would delight to do so." Now, parents have been given authority by God. It's an extensive authority. As a matter of fact, the parental authority is the most extensive of authorities given to any human being on the planet. It's a great responsibility, and it's an extensive jurisdiction over the life of a child. He has given you that child. He's given you almost complete authority over the life of that child. At birth, the child's completely helpless, can do nothing. You have to do everything for it. You have to feed it. You have to change its diaper. You have to wash it. You determine as best you can when it goes to bed and when it wakes up, when it eats. And you are the governor of that child. And that's a God-given authority. It's yours. And take that authority and use it for the good of the child. There are many parents today who've been badgered into thinking they really can't, they don't have authority here. You have authority from God Almighty to command your children. Believe Him. Don't believe all the lies around you that are saying, "Oh, you can't do that. You don't have authority here." No, you have full authority from God to do what is best for that child. And you, as parents, know what is best for that child much more than they know what's best for themselves. Children do not know what's best for themselves. Left to themselves, they will eat candy and Cracker Jacks and cookies all day long until they swell up, you know. And they won't drink either. They'll drink sodas the whole day long. They'll do all this stuff that's terrible for them, but God has put you in their life to prevent them from doing all the things that would hurt them. But it's an extensive authority. It includes the care for their health. You determine their health care decisions. It determines how they will be educated. It determines what when they will go to bed, if they will brush their teeth or not, and I recommend it. I think that's good. It's not commanded in the Bible, but brushing your teeth is a good idea. And your parents command you to brush your teeth, you should do it. What medicines they will take, who their friends will be, what time they get up, what time they go to bed. Their whole life is under your command and authority. You have authority as parents to do that. Now, I'm mainly talking about young children here. At some point, you want to be letting them expand and make their own choices, but I'm mainly talking about young children. But this is an extensive authority. So this command is given to children, but God has given the parents authority to enforce the command. So I want to talk a little bit about how a child is to obey. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." Children, is this obedience? Your mom says, could you walk the dog? And you say, "I'll do it in a little while." That's not obedience. Obedience is right away. She asks you to walk the dog. You stop what you're doing and you walk the dog. Children are to obey right away. When God commands His children to obey, does He says, "In your own convenience? At your convenience, could you keep my commandments?" No, He expects immediate obedience. Postponed obedience, late obedience, is a form of disobedience. So children, you're to obey right away. What about obeying like this? If mom says, "Okay, you wash the dishes tonight," and you say, "I hate washing the dishes. I'll do it, but is that obedience? Should be a resounding no, right? No, that is not obedience. It's called grumbling. That's what that is. It's grumbling. You may be doing it, hesitating, grumbling. Obedience is not obedience. Ask the Israelites in the wilderness how that went. You know, does God like grumbling obedience? Does He like you, "Okay, we'll do it, but I'm going to grumble about it the whole way"? The Bible forbids grumbling. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. He doesn't like you to talk back either. So God requires immediate obedience without grumbling, without complaining. And then He also requires of His children, and parents should require of their children, complete obedience. Go all the way. Clean your room means finish it. Doesn't mean get it halfway through and then leave the rest, the other half, a mess. And we see this in Haggai. God commanded His people to rebuild the temple, and several months into this project, they just stopped. They quit. They went and built their own houses. And he sent the prophet Haggai to say, you need to finish this. Haggai chapter 1, verse 3. Then the Lord, word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Consider your ways. And he goes on to talk about all the bad things that are happening to them because they gave up completing the command that he had given them. So God expects his people to follow through and finish what he commands them to do. He expects us to obey right away. He expects us to obey him joyfully. We're not grumbling, grumpy obedience. And he expects us to obey him completely to finish it. So children, when it says obey your parents in the Lord, the way we used to say it at our house, actually we still do say it at our house, is to be right away, all the way, in a happy way. Right away, all the way, in a happy way. That's the obedience that God loves. And that's the obedience that God will bless. Obey your parents right away, all the way, in a happy way. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now for the parents. The parents, you're required to require your children to do this. And that is how you love them. If you don't require your children to keep this commandment, you are hating them. You are treating them with contempt. You are cruel to your children. You must require your children to obey as God commands them to obey. The Bible is very clear about this. In Proverbs 13:24, he says, he who spares his rod hates his son. But he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Disciplines him right away. If you're not disciplining your child and making them obey you right away, all the way, in a happy way, you are hating that child. You're unkind. You are cruel to that child. The world will tell you the opposite, but they're lying. You're setting your child up for the judgment of God. He has commanded them to obey. If they don't obey, it is not going to go well for them on this earth. Our own Heavenly Father has modeled this for us. He disciplines the sons he loves. He's modeled it for the parent in Proverbs 3:11-12. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights. Our Heavenly Father will chasten us. And if he does not chasten you, you are not his son. If he's going to let you go on in your disobedience, if he's going to let you go on in your sin and your rebellion and travel down that road to destruction, he does not love you and you are not his son. You are not his child. Because his children he'll discipline. His children he'll chasten. Because he loves them. Those whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights. You parents must make sure your children obey you right away, all the way, in a happy way, for their good, for their blessing, because you love them. Hebrews 12:7-9 says, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. What son is there whom a father does not chasten? If you're without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, he says, we've all had human fathers who corrected us. We paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? Our Heavenly Father disciplines his children because he loves us. And you parents must discipline your children in love and make them to obey you. Do within what is within your power that God has given you to help them to obey this commandment that God has given them. Problem is that children are born foolish, born rebellious. They come out of the womb wanting to be Lord. Lord of you, and probably Lord of the universe if they could pull it off, right? And if you don't give them what they want, they will punish you. Right? You remember when you were in your cradle, right? You were all in your cradle. You're sitting there in your cradle and you wanted that milk bottle. and your mom said it's all gone. And she just pulled it out of your mouth and it's gone, no more. And you go, no, I want that. And you screeched at the top of your lungs and you started to kick your feet that you wanted that bottle. And she says, it's gone. You emptied it. And it's just, it doesn't matter. You're going to suffer for taking that from me. That's exactly what you were thinking, wasn't it? You remember that as a child. And so children come out of the womb foolish and demanding and wanting to rule the world. The Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, and the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Where's the foolishness? It's in the heart. How can you get at a child's heart? It's through his rear. It sounds funny, but it's actually true. The rod of correction is the way you get to the child's heart. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. There is a connection between the rear of a child and his heart. And the Bible has made that very clear. If he has the rod of correction, it will help drive the folly out of his heart. I know that's not politically correct either today, but that is what the Bible clearly teaches. If you've ever said, how can I get at the heart of this child? One of the means that God has appointed is the rod of correction, proper use of the rod. The modern parent has been taught that the use of the rod is cruel. It is unjust. It is unrighteous. God does not think so. And believe God more than the stupidity of this age and the philosophies of this world. It's arrogant men who think they know better than God and they're more wise than God. He says the rod of correction will drive this folly out of their heart. Godly discipline is the means by which a child will be delivered from death. If you do not chastise that child, teach that child to obey, you send your child to hell. You send them directly to death. Proverbs 23:13-14. Do not withhold correction from a child. For if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. Godly discipline is the means by which you deliver your children from hell. He's not going to die. If you're disciplining them properly with the rod, they will not die, he says. It's not going to even hurt him. It'll hurt at the moment. Yes, it should hurt. It's supposed to hurt. Chastisement at the moment is unpleasant and painful. But in the end, it will deliver his soul from hell. I know everything in the culture is screaming that that's a lie, but let God be true and every man be a liar. The truth is, the wages of sin is death. Some sins will lead your child to death more quickly than others, but all sin leads to death. And the parent who will not keep their child from sin by teaching, instruction, reproof, and the rod, using it to drive the folly out of that child's heart, is a cruel parent who sends their child to his death. Proper discipline doesn't kill the child. Proper discipline saves the child from death. It is the means that God has appointed. And a loving parent will not send their child to destruction. You'll stand in the way. But children are born out of the womb wanting to run towards death. And you as the parent must stand in the way and say, no, I will not let you go. I love you too much to let you go that way. And I'm going to stop you. Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod and rebuke give wisdom. But a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Children need not only the rod, they need reproof. They need rebuke. They need instruction. And next time we will look at Ephesians 6:4, which is all about instruction. We'll go in great detail just on that one verse and the importance of instruction. But the rod and rebuke go together. That's what gives wisdom. Do you want your child to be wise? Here's the means God has appointed. The rod and rebuke give wisdom. But you leave that child to himself, he will bring shame to his mother. Now, what does this look like practically? A lot of this has been lost. There are parents who've abused, and they were mistaken. Well, the rod, for some people, the rod means smacking a child. It does not mean smacking a child. It means being angry and beating a child. That is not what this is talking about at all. What is the rod and reproof or rod and rebuke look like practically in your life, in the life of your child? Suppose the child does not do his chores, supposed to clean his room. And you ask him about it, and he says, you say, did you clean your room? And he says, yes, I cleaned my room. And you go and follow up with confirmation to confirm that it was actually done, and it's still a wreck. What has that child just done? He lied. Is that serious? God hates the lying tongue. He hates it. Do you want God to hate your child? If you want God to hate your child, let him get away with it. If not, that needs to be corrected. So what happens is God hates the lying tongue. You don't want your child to be hated by God. And so you call him to the place of justice. In our house, it is the laundry room. Seems like it's always been the laundry room, no matter where we lived. They get called to the place of justice in the laundry room. Child's confronted, charges against him. It's very judicial. Very calm, judicial, if the parent is doing what he's supposed to do. There's no anger here. If there's anger, it probably needs to be a pause and till the anger goes away, because the discipline is not to vent your anger. That's called sin. If you vent your anger on your child, you need to ask God to forgive you, and then you need to ask the child to forgive you. This is not about anger. It's not about venting anything. And if you've done that, then that's what you need to do. Ask God to forgive you. And ask them to forgive you. But it's about justice, and it's about saving the child's soul. Think of it in those terms. I'm trying to save this child's soul. If he continues to be a liar, God hates liars. Liars find their place in the lake of hell, lake of fire. The devil is the father of lies. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. I've got to stop him. He must learn to stop lying. And so you call them to the place of justice, the laundry room, and you bring the charges against him. You lied. You told me your room was clean, and it was not. That's the rebuke. God hates the lying tongue. You explain to him from the scriptures, I don't want you to be hated by God. I love you. There's going to be the application of the rod here. You tell him the number of swats, and then you apply the rod, and it's supposed to hurt. It's supposed to hurt. Because that is what's going to get the attention. That is what's going to, that's the means that's going to get to the heart or somehow, some mysterious way. It's going to drive the folly out of his heart. I didn't say that. God said that. That's God's word. So if you have a problem with that, it's with your problems with God's word. It's supposed to hurt. And then after this, the child's to be confronted, or comforted, excuse me, after he's confronted, he's to be comforted and pointed to the only one who can forgive that sin of lying. And that's the Lord Jesus. You lied. That's a sin against God. But there is hope for you. And that's the Lord Jesus. Look to him. Trust in him. If you turn to him and turn away from this sin, your sin will be forgiven and you will have life. Really, in some sense, the application of the rod to the sins of your child is the perfect opportunity to point them to Christ. Then it's done. I want to give you sort of a scenario of how it can happen. With little children, you probably need to ask questions to make sure they understand. For example, what did you do wrong? And they say, I lied about my chores, doing my chores. What does God think of lying? God hates lying. What do you deserve for your lying? I deserve the wrath and curse of God. What has Christ done? Christ has died for my sins. Do you trust in him? Yes. Then your sins are forgiven. Give me a hug. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful process. And it's done. He doesn't have to get on, you know, grounded for 2 weeks for lying, where he just sort of smolders over there in the whatever. It's done. The sin is forgiven. I forgive you. God forgives you. I love you, and that's why I've done this for you, because I love you. That's the beauty of this discipline. I hope you see the beauty of it. and it's complete. It's finished. It doesn't need to linger anymore. No grudges held. It's all done. Just as Christ, when his sacrifice on the cross, the sins are forgiven. We're not going to bring this up again. You're restored completely to fellowship with God and with your family. This is how you save the souls of your children. Again, getting angry and striking a child is a sin. Disciplining in rage or anger and yelling at them, that's a sin too. But this controlled, disciplined use of the rod as God has commanded can deliver your child's soul from hell. It can drive the folly out of their heart. You have to believe God. I'm not making this up. You can go back and read all those scriptures again that I read. It's all in the Word of God. So do you want it to go well with your child, parent? Do you want your child to have a long life on the land, on the earth? Then you must require them to honor you. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. There's something in the water that we drink today that tells us we can't require our children to honor us. That's a lie. You can, and you must. If you love them, you will require them to honor you. The idea that a parent should not require children to honor him is a lie. The Bible, God the Father requires them to honor you. You certainly can too. Behind this commandment is the authority of God Almighty. Honor your father and mother. You must do it, and you must require your children to do it for their good. If they won't, then they will be cursed. Proverbs 30:17 says, "The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it." That's a threat to the child who will not honor mother and father. Well, I know much has been said here that may be surprising or shocking, but go look at the scriptures. This is what the Word of God teaches, and seek to apply them to your children because you love them and you want it to go well for them. And I want to sum things up here for the children. Now, children, when your parents command you, hear God speaking to you. My mom told me to do the dishes. That means God wants me to do the dishes. I want to obey God and obey in the Lord your parents. See his authority behind your parents' voice. Your parents did not make up the fifth commandment. This is not some conspiracy that parents made up this rule. This comes from God Almighty, and know that and receive it in that way. By the way, parents, you must honor your parents too. You still have parents living. You're required to honor them. If you want it to go well with you and you want to live long on this earth, you need to honor them. They must be treated with honor. It means caring for them when they're old. It means treating them with respect. You don't have to obey them as you did when you were a child, but you should always heed their counsel, listen to them, and treat them with honor. And it will go well with you. The commandment still applies to us as adults. It is very important that you treat your parents with honor. If you treat your parents with contempt, don't expect it to go well for you and your house. It's very vital that you obey this commandment too, still as adults. And then for parents of children, when you love your children, you make them obey. That's not tyranny. It's not oppression. It's love. May the Lord give us the grace to be faithful, and may God strengthen your hands in this good work. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, you know all the hard work that goes into loving little ones. And so we pray that you would give us the strength, the endurance, and the ability to love our children, to discipline them wisely, to instruct them. And we ask you to pour out your blessing upon this work. For if you do not bless the work of our hands, all our labors are in vain. So we look to you for that great work of rebirth. O Lord, make our children to be born again. Amen.